Now let's continue in 2 Chronicles. Let's come to 2 Chronicles 29. We'll just summarize this. Hezekiah, verse 1, began to reign being 25 years old and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. So then, since he took over from Ahaz, who turned out to be really a very corrupt, evil, rotten, disobeying, rebellious king, the temple had been neglected, so it had to be repaired. So all of chapter 9 talks about the repair of the temple and everything, getting it up, ready, and going. Okay, now, come to chapter 30. This becomes a major important point because we're going to deal with the Passover. Okay? Did God deal with the children of Israel on the Passover day and the first day of unleavened bread? Yes, he did. Okay? And that goes back 430 years to Abraham, does it not? So Passover is a very important thing as we go along. So for them to return to God, they had to come and keep the Passover. But it turned out that they couldn't get the temple cleansed in time to actually keep the Passover at that time. So here's what they decided. Chapter 30, verse 1. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. And the king and the leaders and all the congregation in Jerusalem took counsel to keep the Passover in the second month. That goes back to Numbers 9. Okay? If you're unclean or you're in a journey, then you can keep it in the second month. So they sent the letter out. A lot of people came. They kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's come back here, come forward now to verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It shows they kept the Passover. They killed it, verse 15, 14th day of the second month, etc. Okay, verse 21, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And then what happened? Verse 23, it was so good that they decided that, verse 23, the whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days, and they kept another 7 days with gladness. Okay, whenever you come back to God, you do it how? Sabbath, Passover, holy days. That's consistent throughout the whole Bible. Any of the pagan days are counted as nothing by God and are worthless. Well, what happened? Hezekiah had his mistake. And then his son Manasseh took over and reigned for 55 years. 55 years of corruption. Okay? And he ended up being the worst of all. Then God raised up Josiah, chapter 34. He was king, began at 8 years of age. When he was 16, he began to break down the altars that were in the land and so forth. Again, the temple was in such disarray that they had to repair it. And this time it was worse than it was in the days of Hezekiah. They had even lost the law. The temple was so in such a state of disrepair that they lost the scrolls of the law. Okay, so they came after they found the scroll during the cleaning of it, and they brought it to King Josiah. So here's what Hilkiah the priest said, verse 15, after he found the book of the law. Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was given into the hands of your servants they are doing. And they gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it to the hands of the overseers and so forth. And Shaphan the scribe, verse 18, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now this was probably the book of Deuteronomy with all the curses in it, and he was probably reading those curses. And Josiah could see, yes, these are coming upon us now. So what happened? We'll just review it. He repented. There was no priest that really God would deal with because they were so wicked and evil that they had to go to Huldah, the one who was a prophetess and a keeper of the wardrobe in the temple, and say, what is God going to do? Well, the answer came back, since you've repented, this will not come in your day. So then Josiah called for emergency meeting of all the leaders, all of Judah, all the elders, Jerusalem, brought them to the temple and made a covenant with God. Restoration back to God. Now, let me just say here, they had to clean up all of the pagan things. And here's a lesson for every one of us. If you have rejected God, and you are keeping the days of this world, which are no different during the time of the children of Israel, it was Baal, the sun god, Sunday was his day, Halloween, Easter, and their version of Christmas, which was in honor of Tammuz, and likewise the fake resurrection. They had all of that back there. So if you don't have the book Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, you download it. We have it on both of our sites, cbcg.org and Church at Home. Download it and read it. Okay? So because he repented, God held off. Let's see it right here. Verse 26. And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words you have heard. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its people, and humbled yourself before me and tore your clothes and wept before me, I have even heard you also, says the Lord. Well, that's what needs to be done. If there's any kind of repentance that's going to turn things around in this nation, this is what needs to be preached from every Sunday pulpit in the land. And they need to say, from now on, we're keeping God's Sabbath. We are not going to keep Christmas. We are not going to keep Easter. We are not going to keep these pagan holidays. We are going to keep the Passover, and we're going to keep the Feast of God from now on. If that occurred, same thing would happen that happened here. God would defer the destruction of Israel in the end time. But I don't think that there is a proverbial chance of a snowball in hell that that's going to happen. So what did he do? It says, verse 28, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and nor shall your eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and this people. And they brought the word to the king again. So the king gathered them all together, brought them up to the temple. He stood by his pillar, all the people there, they read the law, they all said that they would keep the law, they all repented, and what was the first thing that they did? Chapter 35 and verse 1. And Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. They returned to God. So if anyone's going to return to God, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And remember, all these are the appointed times of the Lord, which he built into the creation of the stars, the earth, the sun, and the moon. And it is part of what God created. And that's why Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law. And the only way that we would not be bound to keep these laws, because we're going to see in the New Testament they kept them as well, the only way we're not bound to keep them is if the heaven and earth no longer exist. And of course, you know that's not true, because we're on the earth. and we can see the heavens, and we can see the moon, correct? Yes. So that's why you can't find anywhere in here authorization to keep the holidays of this world. All right. Now we come to the New Testament. Let's come to Luke, the first chapter. Now, as I mentioned, God has various things hidden in the Bible. And it says it's the glory of God to conceal something and the honor of the king to find it. Well, it's the honor of anyone to search it out in truth. But everyone has got to be willing to do God's way. Now here, Luke, the first chapter, and here we find beginning the narration of how John the Baptist was conceived and born. And I'm just going to read you one verse, verse 5, okay? Because there is something here that you need to catch. This is why. Remember where we started this sermon. All Scripture is God-breathed. And in that, he has hidden something very important. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest of the course of Abijah. You know what that is? You know what that means? Course of Abijah. Probably not. Maybe some of you have never even heard it. But what does that have to do with the holy days? Well, let me explain to you. In the harmony of the Gospels and also in appendices in the Bible, we have, when was Jesus born? This becomes a clue as to the time when Jesus was born. Now, David divided all the priests into 24 courses. The course of Abijah, you go back to 2 Chronicles and read it, was the 8th course. They began the first month of the year. Every course would work a full week from Sabbath to Sabbath. They would start at noon Sabbath and end at noon Sabbath. All the 24 courses came twice a year to the particular course of the time that they were to do it. The course of Abijah was the 8th course of the year. When you count in the week for Passover and Pentecost, you can pinpoint to within 2 weeks when John the Baptist was born, and then you can pinpoint when Jesus was born. So we have that all laid out according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. But if you're so naive and deceived and gullible, and hence you are ignorant, that doesn't mean you're stupid, it means you lack knowledge, are ignorant of these facts, you don't know where to look for the things that are hidden. So Zechariah worked the 8th week and the 9th week, and the 10th week he went home, and because he didn't believe Gabriel the angel, he couldn't even talk to his wife, except write out, "Come on, we're going to have a son." So that gives us a probable 2 week period of when John the Baptist was born, and as we will see, when Jesus was born. Now, let's read something here that's very important. Okay? Come here to verse 36. I'm not going to go through the whole thing about the announcement by Gabriel. But verse 36, "And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman," she was Mary's aunt. Mary was young, Elizabeth was old, so it couldn't have been her cousin, but an aunt. "And behold, your kinswoman has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month for her who was called barren." Ho, ho! So guess what we did? We took the calculated Hebrew calendar for 4 B.C., and 5 B.C., pinpointed exactly when those things took place, counted forward 6 months to when Mary conceived in her womb, count forward, and you come to the fall when Jesus was born, And the middle day of the two-week period was no less than the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. Now, you need to get to Harmony or read it in the appendices in the Bible. So those are some of the little things that are hidden there, which if you read, you have no understanding of. And if you don't, you're told everything in the Old Testament has been fulfilled, you don't have to read it. Well, then why should you read it? Why should you try and investigate it? And then you're told, well, all of the holy days and these things, these were all ritual days. No, the truth is, the days came first by creation. The rituals came later. So if the rituals have been replaced by spiritual things, that does not do away with the days. See? That's very important to understand. And I have two sermons which came first, the day or the ritual. Okay? Now, we come to chapter 2, right here toward the end of it, verse 42. And we find what they did. Now, if we're not to keep the Passover, if we're not to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because Jesus did away with it, why did he keep it? Oh, he did it because he was a Jew and under the Old Covenant. No, he was not under the Old Covenant. He was under the special covenant between him and God the Father. And you can also download that from our Hebrew series, message number 27, Covenant Between God the Father and Jesus Christ. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. What do you know about that? He kept the Passover, kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, you can read the rest of the account because we're just doing a little survey here, okay? Kept the Passover. Now, let's come to Luke 22. All right. Did Jesus keep the Passover? Of course he did, when he was a kid. Now let's come to his last Passover, Luke 22. Now let's see what Jesus did. Now, if you want an in-depth study of the Passover, you write in for the Christian Passover book. Which day to be observed? The 14th and 15th. And let me just forewarn you, because those without understanding, as one minister said, why do you have to have a book of 500 pages to explain about the Passover? You've heard me say that before. Well, because the Passover is the key. Did we not see the Passover is the key? Abraham, yes. Children of Israel, yes. The return to God, yes. Going into the promise of land, yes. Okay? It is the key. Now, before we talk about the Passover here in Luke 22, Revelation 13 and verse 8, the last part of the verse says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because God built into the creation all of these days, and these are God's days, and God uses these days, and he used the Passover day as the crucifixion day. Now, if you don't want to read the 500 pages, then ask for the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Because, you see, Mel Gibson, being a Catholic, had only about half the truth. I saw the full movie. Had some very interesting things in it. Some things very close, some things very far away. The most important thing that he showed was the brutality of the scourging. But 50% of what he had was missing because he didn't have it on the Passover day. Because that's the day Jesus was crucified. The day that God chose from the foundation of the world. Okay? Now, let's read some verses here so we see what happened. Okay? Now, verse 1, Luke 22. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. Now, I explain, what does it mean? Why do you call unleavened bread Passover? Okay? I explained that in the Passover book. And the chief priests and scribes were speculating as to how they might put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, who was surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went away and spoke to the chief priests and the captains about a way by which he might betray him to them. And they rejoiced and agreed to give him money. And he promised and sought an opportunity to betray him to them away from the multitude. Now, verse 7. I'm not going to explain the technicality of verse 7 except to say the Passover day is an additional day of unleavened bread, separate from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? Then came the day of the unleavens. That is a literal translation, because they had to unleaven their houses, they had to unleaven all their villages, they had to get all the leaven out everywhere in preparation for the Passover, okay? In which it was obligatory to kill the Passover lambs. Now that's all explained. It takes three whole chapters in the Passover book to knock down every argument that carnal-minded men who want to destroy the Bible and truth have come up with. Now, verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. What did they eat? The Passover. But some people are so confused that they say, well, he really didn't keep Passover. He kept a pre-Passover Passover. Well, it would be kept then on the wrong day. Well, no, it wasn't the wrong day, because Jesus was going to be killed on the Passover day. But when did they observe the Passover? Well, at night. Was he crucified then? No. Could he not keep the Passover that night of the 14th as it began? Of course. See? Why does Satan bring so many things against it? Because he doesn't want anyone to be in covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ, because those who belong God the Father and Jesus Christ must keep the Passover every year. So if you can get people not to keep the Passover, then they will not be in covenant with God, right? And that would be Satan's goal, correct? So that's why all these arguments come up against it. But they said to him, where do you desire that we prepare? He said to them, watch, and when you come into the city, you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. Now, why was he carrying a pitcher of water? What was the first thing they did after the Old Testament Passover was started and they were eating? Well, right at the beginning of supper, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You got to have water for that, don't you? Okay. So did this man know he was carrying the water in there for the foot washing service? No, because they didn't do that with the Passover of the Old Covenant. They did with the New. So all of this is arranged ahead of time. I imagine there were angels guiding this and guiding that, working everything out, you know. Everything was all set. And you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, the teacher. Well, didn't even tell him who it was. Where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished there, prepare. So they went and found everything exactly as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now this becomes important. Jesus said he desired to eat it with them. He wouldn't eat it again until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then we know from John 13 that he washed their feet. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me. Likewise with the wine, this is my blood of the new covenant. This do in the remembrance of me for the remission of sins. Okay, now, let's just do this. Come back here to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, if you want to know all the exact things concerning the timing of the Passover, get the Passover book and review it. There are some people who have written me and have said, I read the Passover book from January going up to the Passover every year, and I learn out of it every year. That book is jam-packed with information. I have sent to Sergei Loganov in Ukraine, the one who translated the Cult Holidays, God's Holy Days book, and he's working on the day Jesus the Christ died. Well, I just found out that his father was a Jew and his mother was a Ukrainian. And he said that the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, is a very profound and moving book. And I sent a friend of his who remarked about it, and I'm going to send that same email it to Sergei, which is this. Every Jew needs to read The Day Jesus the Christ Died, because that will show them that everything they have been told by their rabbis is a lie. And everything that they see in what is Christianity today in this world is a lie. They understand the idolatry and the paganism of Catholicism. And they can understand for the first time why then they should not keep the Passover on the 15th. But if they want to follow Jesus Christ, they should keep it on the 14th, because that's when Jesus kept it. And we'll see in just a bit here that Paul wrote, and in the night in which he was betrayed. Okay? Now, a lot of time is spent on the Passover, because the Gospels is filled with everything to do with the Son of God, his teachings, and the Passover, and his sacrifice. Okay? Now, after he was resurrected from the dead, he came to his disciples. Okay? Let's come here. Verse 17, Matthew 28. Notice his instructions. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Still, even at that point, you know, are people hard-headed and hard-hearted? Yes. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And that is from God the Father, correct? All authority. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's not a Trinitarian formula. You need all three. Holy Spirit's the power of God, not a God. Now, verse 20 is what I want to get to. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, do all things mean all things? Yes, they do. All things that I have commanded you. What did he command them with the Passover? Did he command them to keep the Passover? Did he command them to wash each other's feet? What night did they keep it on? The 14th, correct? What night should true Christians keep it on? The 14th! See, but the Jews have confused things so badly, because they keep a 15th Passover because they are in the diaspora, and they can't keep the 14th because they're not in the land, as was required under the covenant with Israel. Now, Jesus said what? Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. For how long? And lo, I am with you always, even to the consummation of the age. Amen. That means until his return, when the age of man under Satan's rule comes to an end. Okay? So if Jesus kept it on the 14th, which he did, what should true Christians do? Keep it on the 14th. Now, nowhere, nowhere, nowhere does it tell us to keep Easter. Now let's come to Acts 12, and we will end here. And I'll pick it up in the next segment, when I go down south. Acts, the 12th chapter. Because here is a place, if you're talking to a Protestant, you say, well, you know, you shouldn't have anything to do with Easter. Well, Acts 12, it says Easter. You know who put that in there? Translators of the King James Version. And the King James Version is filled with so many major errors that that is why it's awfully hard for people who use a King James Version of the Bible to really come to the full knowledge of these things and the technicalities of the things that they need to know, and to understand law and to understand grace and to understand the Sabbath and to understand the holy days. The King James Version is so awful because it gives the appearance with that translation that law has been abolished, when it hasn't. So you need the faithful version of the Bible, and you need the book Judaism, a revelation of God or a religion of men, in order for you to understand those difficult scriptures. But here, verse 4. Now let me read it in the faithful version. After arresting him, that is Peter, we'll go back and read the other verses leading up to it. He put him in prison, delivering him to four sets of four soldiers to guard him with the intent of bringing him out to the people after the Passover season. The Greek is Pascha, the Passover. To translate that as Easter is a fallacious, vicious, knowingly wrong translation to try and justify the pagan Ishtar holiday of Easter that came out of ancient Babylon and is sanctioned by the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants today. It should read as it's translated here, after the Passover season. Now, why do we have season here? Let's come up and read verse 1 and 3, and we'll finish here. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hands to persecute some of those of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And you will see in the chronology of writing the New Testament that since in the book of Hebrews, Paul did not mention the death of James, the book of Hebrews had to be written before this occurred. Okay? Now, this was somewhere about 44 AD, somewhere about there. No, he doesn't mention it. Okay? I don't recall right offhand. Maybe it was written later. Verse 3, and when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. Now those were the days of unleavened bread. So how do you have the Passover after unleavened bread? You don't. It comes before. So this is, as it was back there in Luke 22, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, called Passover. So it's the Passover season. Okay? But nevertheless, they weren't keeping Easter. You ask any Jew today, why don't you keep Easter? He'll tell you it's pagan. They have that correct. But they don't understand all of their traditions that they have and follow are just as pagan as what they accuse the Christian world of as being pagan. So there you have it. It's the kettle calling the pot black. Well, we'll continue the survey in the New Testament and see, yes, indeed. They kept the Passover, they kept unleavened bread, they kept Pentecost. And then we will see that the book of Revelation is broken down according to the sequence of the holy days. Very interesting indeed. So again, nowhere can you find the holidays of this world being authorized in the scriptures anyplace. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.